We are not only children of the earth, but we are children of the resurrection. In spite of our lofty religious talk, we too often, though, live only as children of the earth, only as people who are seeking earthly things, people who are seeking and obsessed with the material aspect of life. And we live without considering what the resurrection means for our lives and how it should inform us and how it should guide our lives and how we should be changed and transformed by knowing that we are children of the resurrection. So if there's one thing I want to leave with us today, it is this. You are a child of the resurrection if you are in Christ Jesus. You are a child of the resurrection. So the word from the scripture is to begin living like a child of the resurrection and then see the glory and the power and the happiness come with that decision to live as a child of the resurrection. There's a Methodist pastor and a theologian. Her name is Alice McKenzie, and she tells a story about being invited once to speak to members of a Sunday school class in Dallas. It was a large church, and the name of the class was called the 2x2 class. And it had begun as a couples class decades earlier. And she arrived a little early to the Sunday school class, so she got to meet folks who were there. And there was one lady that came up to her, an older woman, and she said she had been a member of the class for a very long time. She told that many of the couples that had joined years ago were now single due to the passing of their spouses. And the woman said, "My husband and I joined in 1955. And he died last year. We were called the 2x2 class, but now it's more like we're the 1x1 class," she said. And then she paused and said, "Now all of us are old, and a lot of us are dead." And then she realized how morbid that sounded, and she turned to the woman and she said, "But we're so glad you're here today." Jesus is in an argument again. Jesus seems to always be finding himself in an argument because people are bringing questions to him to try to trap him. Usually it's the Pharisees, but this time, in fact, it's the only time in the book of Luke, the Sadducees come to Jesus to bring an argument before him. And as I said, they're always trying to trap Jesus, to make him look bad, to catch him in some kind of paradox or tight spot to make Jesus look, to lose credibility in his ministry. Now, one thing that if you were to recognize and identify the Sadducees with, it would be that they were anti-resurrection. They did not believe that there was a resurrection. The Pharisees did. And the difference there was the Sadducees worked from the Torah. They only believed in the first five books of the Old Testament as scripture. But it's the Psalms and the prophets that really began to speak and to point toward the resurrection. And the Pharisees held to the Torah plus the prophets and the Psalms. And so the Sadducees were very anti-resurrection. And so Jesus was out there preaching the resurrection, that there was a new life, that there would be life beyond the grave, that God is the God of the living and not of the dead. And so the Sadducees had a chance and they came to him and they you can almost imagine they were mulling over the best way to get Jesus. And so they agreed upon this scenario that they presented to Jesus. And the scenario was this, and it was based on the Levirate, based on Levi law, of marriage in that time, in that place. And that was, if a woman who was married, if her husband died and she had no children, it was the responsibility of the husband's brother to marry that wife. And it was meant to protect the surviving spouse from living a life of poverty, because in those days there was no safety net. And so if you were left without a husband, women often found themselves in dire straits. And so the law required that the brother of the man who died to marry the surviving wife. But there's an interesting question that the Sadducees bring up, and that is, okay, it's easy for us to understand if there is a resurrection, and in the resurrection, who, if there's only one man and one woman married, it would be easy to contemplate who would be married in heaven. It would be the man and the woman. But what if the woman had seven husbands who died? They thought, now we got him. Which one will the woman be married to in heaven? So that was the question that was brought before Jesus. It's an interesting question. In fact, even as a child, that question had come to my growing mind when my father died at 9, and I thought, you know, if my mother remarries again, who will she be married to in heaven? So it's a question that one would think to ask if they trust in the resurrection. But Jesus shows that the Sadducees' objection is invalid. And it goes back to this notion of you're either a child of the earth or you're a child of the resurrection. The Sadducees were working from the notion that people are only children of the earth. You live and then you die and your material body decays and that's it. Hope you enjoyed the ride. But if there is an eternity, and if that eternity is founded on life in the Spirit, then Jesus points to the fact that the rules of the earth no longer persist in the rules of heaven, in the rules of the resurrection. So to say that one would have to choose between the seven husbands is an invalid point, because in the resurrection, Jesus says, we become people who are greater than any human institution. We become people who are living in the Spirit, because we are people, we are children of the resurrection. So he says, you limit the possibilities of heaven and what love and what beauty and what relationships might look like in the everlasting. There was a pastor once who came across who said a couple were getting married, and the woman wanted the pastor to change the wording of the ceremony to not from "until death do we part" to "for all eternity." And the pastor told the woman, he said, "That's above my pay grade. I can marry you together here on earth till death do you part, but marriage in heaven, that's a whole unlimited, unimaginable scenario for what life will be like as children of the resurrection." And so, as I mentioned starting this morning, that we tend to live too much as children of the earth. We limit the possibilities of what God can do, of what God's able to do with our lives here on earth and beyond the grave, because we see ourselves only as children of the earth. But Jesus says in our passage today that we are children of the resurrection. And the resurrection means new life. The resurrection means a life beyond the grave. The resurrection means life for eternity with our God in heaven. And if life is eternal and God is unlimited, then the possibilities for what relationships will be in the presence of God, we can't fathom. So Jesus says, stop thinking like a child of the earth and expand your mind, expand your soul, expand your heart to imagine what it might be to love like God. And so children of the earth and children of the resurrection think differently here on earth. And as children of the resurrection, we are to think and act differently than the rest of the world, because we have been called. We have been called as disciples of Christ to begin to think and to live as children of the resurrection. What does it mean to be a child of the resurrection? Well, to be a child of the resurrection means to desire the Spirit to infuse, to incarnate into your life. As you awake in the morning, as you work throughout the day, as you walk throughout the day, as you interact throughout the day, your desire is that the Spirit will infuse, will incarnate, will become part of the flesh so that you begin to live as a child of God, as a child of the resurrection, and not just for material means, not just for temporary means or temporal means, for the things of the earth, but for things of heaven as well. And so that's important to realize too, that children of the earth or children of the resurrection celebrate being a child of the earth. The body is a good thing. Our existence here on earth is a wonderful gift, this gift of life. But it's not all that there is. And we see as children of resurrection that we are to take this gift, this body that we've been given, this one life that we've been given, and to reach for God with this life, to reach for the Spirit with all that we do. Because we're not satisfied as children of the resurrection. In fact, we're repulsed by this crude and this hyper-material and this hyper-sexualized lifestyle that the masses follow today. That's not us. That's not who we are. And that may sound elitist, but I don't care. We are children of the resurrection. We don't do that. We don't think like that. We don't talk like that. We don't live like that. Because we know that we are not just children of the earth, which we celebrate. We celebrate our bodies. We celebrate the beauty of the earth. But we also know that we are children of the resurrection. And so as children of the earth and children of the we strive to be children of God. And so we work toward the excellence and the beauty that is God with this one life that we've been given. You see the difference between being a child of the earth and a child of the resurrection. So children of the resurrection also desire the purity and the cleanliness and the orderliness and the beauty of life. You know, there is this material aspect, as I said, and there's our earthly relationships that we have, but we desire that they be pure, that they be pure, that they be holy, that they be good, that they be uplifting, that they be purified by the light and by the Spirit. Children of the resurrection also then, with this one life that we've been given, know that we are called to create with our lives. We are called to create beauty with our lives. We are called to create beauty with who we are, with our relationships, with the things that we accomplish, with what we do with our lives. It's to create beauty, to create excellence, to foster love, because that's who God is. God is good. God is beauty. God is love. God is excellence. And so as children of the resurrection, we live into that. And we're not satisfied. In fact, we're repulsed by what the masses do. The masses cling after the lowest. The masses chase after only the material things of this world. And if that's if the material becomes the God, the material becomes a curse. But if the material becomes, if the material is used as a tool to reach God and to find beauty and love and excellence in this life and happiness in this life, then we become true children of the resurrection because we find the Spirit of God incarnated in our lives. Do you see the difference between being a child of the earth and a child of the resurrection? To be a child of the earth limits the possibilities. And that's what the Sadducees were doing. Jesus says, you're limiting God with this silly question. Because God is infinite. Eternity is forever. God can do anything and accomplish anything in the resurrection. So it's almost like Jesus is saying, just wait and see what happens with these seven brothers and all of the relationships of people in heaven. We will be one. We will be in spirit. We will be in a place of glory and of beauty and of worshiping in the presence of God. And Jesus says, just wait. Just wait to see what that is. But don't limit yourself by being a child of the earth. Because children of the resurrection have an eternal soul-based perspective. It's not limited by the material. It's critical that we have a soul-based and eternity-based perspective. Because if we don't, we see the world that we have today. It's all about the now. It's all about what I can get now, whatever I have to destroy, whatever I have to use up, whatever I have to burn in terms of material things, in terms of relationships, whatever it is, the child of the earth says, I want it now and I don't care what it takes to get it. That's a destructive mindset and lifestyle for us. And that's what the masses are doing. You just got to look around. That's what the mass of people are doing. But Jesus said, I have called you to be a child of the resurrection. I have called you to live for excellence. I've called you to live into beauty and to create beauty with your life. I've called you to create a space of love in your life for this world. And if we can do that here, Jesus says to us, imagine what it will be like in eternity in the full glory and presence of the Father. We can't imagine. But our work here is to begin to live into the resurrection today as children of the resurrection. I'll close with this. Alice McKenzie, the same pastor that I spoke of, she had told another story once that she knew a man who had told his wife that he never wanted her to remarry if he should die before she did. And in fact, he did die. He passed away when he was 75, and she was very lonely. And after a couple of years, she came to the pastor, McKenzie, and told her that this woman had begun to enjoy the company of a man whose wife had died several years ago. In fact, the man had asked to marry her. And she declined because she said that her first husband said that he never wanted her to remarry. And here's what Pastor McKenzie said to the woman. Very wise. She said, he loved you and didn't like the thought of you being with someone else. But now I would imagine now that he has experienced heaven, that he has a different and a broader perspective beyond just this earthly life. And I would bet that his desire is that you would be happy now, and that would be your primary focus. Children of the resurrection find happiness because they, through the grace of God, lift themselves out of the crudeness and the emptiness and the nihilism of the masses, and they find themselves striving for and seeking good and excellence and beauty. And that's where the joyful life is found in Christ, when we take this gift that we've been given of life and we create beauty, we create love, and we create excellence with what we've been given. Jesus seems to point to all of that in his discussion this morning with those Sadducees when he says, God's not a God of the dead. There's plenty of dead people walking around. They're just waiting to die. They're not creating beauty. They're not creating love. They're not creating excellence. They're not striving for anything. They're just waiting for the time to tick out. But Jesus says, God is the God of the living. And he said, he was speaking to those in God, and we are all alive. And it's time we start living like we are all alive. And that's to live as a child of the resurrection. Let's pray together. Father, how wonderful to be in your house this morning, to have the opportunity to recognize our veterans again this year and thank them for their service, to gather together as your children, to be reminded that your son Jesus told us that in Christ we are children of the resurrection. Father, may we learn to live into that reality that you have presented to us through the risen Christ. And we pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.